it's because it's chemistry. Now, I don't have a degree in polymer science. I never even finished college. It's just a different way of thinking. But when you see what's possible, it is life-changing for some people. I have actually had clients cry. I actually like the hunt. I don't get to do it very often. You know, I travel so much.
The Blue Collar Voices Show.
The answer to last episode's trivia question is, the short answer is 746 watts. The long answer is complicated and definitely has many variables. This episode of the Blue Collar Voices Show is part two of the recording with Robert Chicky. If you haven't heard part one, you might want to stop and listen to part one first. All right. Let's jump into part two with Robert Chicky. How is this applicable to, say, flooring and the longevity and the need to withstand, you know, foot traffic? How would you use this, say, in a flooring capacity?
So again, it's a coating. You know, it doesn't matter what the substrate is. I mean, it really doesn't for me, because I was actually this week working on a project where I had to take brick, existing bricks in a residence that were pink and like a golden color. And the client wanted them to be gray. And I used a reactive color and shifted, chemically shifted that brick to go the direction I wanted.
It's not even wood. You're working in an entirely different medium.
It's because it's chemistry. Now, I don't have a degree in polymer science. I never even finished college. It's just a different way of thinking. You can actually shift no matter what it is. If it's actually an organic living thing, because brick comes out of the earth too. It's just fired. But you can do stone. You can do concrete. I mean, you can shift a color of something organically. It is possible. But let's talk about flooring. So one of the ways that it's possible to do flooring, I play with an organic product. I don't want to mention here because I don't know that that's okay. But
well, you can mention anything you want from my perspective.
Okay, so I play with this one coating. It's called Odie's Oil, and it's a hard oil. It's a kind of a new classification of coatings. Most of the best coatings, the most innovative coatings today are in Europe by far. American coatings are so far behind. They have the technology. Frankly, I think Americans don't ask questions. They just want to drink the Kool-Aid that people tell you. So there's no incentive for coatings companies to get you to switch to this technology. That's going to happen. It's just happening slower in the United States. So in Europe, floors are not coated with polyurethane. They don't do that. They oil their floors. And some of the big players in the market, there's three big players out there in this hard oil. The three biggest players are Rubio Monocoat, Osmo, and Lobo Wacko. They're all European coatings, European companies. And they sell their brand, their coatings, as safe, VOC-free, organic. Things like that. But in reality, they have fantastic colors. The colors are so much different than what's available in a can at the store. So people see those colors and they're like, wow, I only have to use one coat. That's it. You put a coat on, you're done. You know, if you do polyurethane, you're 3, 4, 5 coats to get protection. Again, people don't ask questions. If they did, and if they understood what they were reading, they would have a much different outcome. Rubio Monocoat has some fantastic colors, but it tells you that A, it's a molecular bond. You only have to put one coat on. It's a molecular bond. But if you understand what you're reading and you really look for their MSDS sheet, which is something that all coatings anywhere in the world have to have, and that's a material safety data sheet where it says what's in it. If you look at it, it says that it has petroleum distillates. That's mineral spirits. That's not organic. That's not natural. Plus, there's a kit. You put the coating on, and this part two. The part two is isocyanate. Isocyanates are nothing but chemicals. It is a building block for polyurethane. It allows their oil to dry. If you don't put it in there, it won't dry. So you can put it on your floor, and 30 days later, it's not really dry. That doesn't work for them. And that is a toxic chemical. But again, they tell you that it's a natural, safe, no VOC product. And it's a no VOC product because our government has a threshold for what is a VOC. That's a whole different discussion. But Odie's oil is made in the United States. It is 100% organic. There is no solvents in it. And it was originally designed for floors. It doesn't really have pre-mixed colors. It has pigments that you can mix. And so that's kind of a drawback for a lot of people. I've been kind of teaching people how to make colors with pigments because that's the skills that I have. Anyway, when you put Odie's oil on, and you allow it to cure for 2 weeks. I mean, I have literally used it outside and left it outside. Water does nothing to it. The first time I ever used it, I had it on for 12 hours on a board. I didn't even know what I was doing. 12 hours, one layer. I stuck it out of the hood of my truck. It rained for 2.5 days. A conventional coating with 12 hours of dry time would be white when you go get it. I pulled it off, white, be cloudy, because the moisture would get underneath it. I went out after 2.5 days to go to work on Monday morning, and it was fine. It had beat it up. That's it. I was blown away. I couldn't even believe it was possible. So that is a super great coating, and it's 100% organic, and it smells like oranges. You can have what other color you want. You can just manipulate your process, adjust your process to get the color you want and use the coating system you want. It is possible to do what I do underneath polyurethane. I just hate the stuff because it's liquid plastic. When you use organic resins, the difference in clarity and colors that you see will blow your mind. Because when all you know is an American-made or European-made or whoever made your coating coming from a can, that is all chemistry. They don't use organic resins because they're expensive and because they don't dry fast. But when you see what's possible, it is life-changing for some people. I have actually had clients cry coming into houses that we worked on because they are so overwhelmed by the difference. And it's happened more than once. They're physically moved by it.
So what's the maintenance of this compared to a more conventional product?
It's the same. I mean, I've got stuff that I did 20 years ago that I haven't touched. That hasn't been touched. It's a process. It's using certain materials that are hard. They just don't dry fast. That's the only difference here.
Right.
They're not production friendly. I mean, understand that is how coatings are designed today. It's all about fast. And people do all kinds of crazy things to try and do layers. you know, like putting color in a varnish is a horrible idea. People do it all the time. There is science to coatings. And there's methods to coatings that make sense to have a chemically viable coating and to have the color you want. It is a different approach. It's not fast. That's the way it is.
So with what you're doing here, you're traveling all around the country. You're involved in all kinds of different projects. What is just a really amazing project that you undertook that stands out?
I'm involved in projects that are only, I'm usually only there a few days. A lot of it is the process to get you there. Project I did in Minnesota, it was the year before, that I was really proud of. And that was the one that had the 5 different wood species in it.
Okay, the wall.
Yeah, but there was a whole lower level of this house. I came in at the end of the project, which is not really the most economical way to get me involved. But because I have this other knowledge, this knowledge of conventional coatings, I can go in and see what they did. You know, through a series of events, through the contractor and the homeowner and the designer trying to get where they wanted to go. But with a contractor who didn't have that knowledge to get there, a series of bad decisions were made. And by the time I got involved, the client was like upset. They'd been in this project for 1.5 years. A lot of money was spent on this house, over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in coatings, but in the project. When you have to go to your client and say, this is our best possible outcome, that's not a conversation you want to have at that level. And so I knew the builder, he reached out to me. And I don't really work with a lot of builders because, frankly, I don't think a lot of builders really care. That's been my experience. They just want you to fit inside their schedule. He just said, you know, I need your help. Can you help me here? So I went in and I looked at where they wanted to go and where they were. They had a tight timeline. I asked the painting contractor, walk me through what you did. And I said, okay, so we have to take this off because in his path, he made some bad mistakes. And his information came from the kids at the paint store, who again, only know what comes from a coatings company, which is biased.
Right.
People need to understand that, and they don't. So I said, okay, we have to take this off, and we have to take it off in this method, or we're going to have problems. And I walk them through why, because it's important for people to learn from these mistakes so they don't do it again, because that knowledge is not out there. And then I said, okay, this is the path we're going to take. Nothing we're going to use is coming out of a can. You know, the top coats were coming out of a can, but they didn't come from the paint store. I actually shipped them in because I wanted a different look. Most people buy coatings based on price. That mentality gets people in trouble. I buy coatings based on performance and the look I want. Because in the scheme of things, materials are 10% of your cost, max. I'm willing to spend another 0.5% of a job cost to get the look I want and the performance that I want. I'm not going to compromise something that's only 10% of a project. That makes no sense, but it's a mentality that I'm trying to change. People need to be educated. So we went backwards and then we went forward. And in the course of that project, there ended up being 5 different species in this basement, in this lower level. But with my method, you can adjust a process in the front end and slightly shift that color. Again, they would have put the same color across all those species. I want one color, and it is possible. So there was mahogany, which turns red. It has a red cast. you just adjust. It doesn't take that long. Literally, I mean, I spent an extra 3 hours and then had an even color. 3 hours. That's all by adjusting. Granted, that's my knowledge, but it's just a mindset of saying the conventional method is, well, this is what wood allows me to do. I'm like, that's just not true. That's the way you perceive. I know differently.
So you have a significant knowledge of wood as well, just to go along with the chemical side of things.
Yes, I do. I have a very broad sense of what wood is, what species are, how they react, because I've taken the time to learn that. That's important to me. I look at substrates as, for me, that the process of being creative is, it's like art to me. These are blank canvases for me to do, to create. You tell me what you want. I create the path for you to get there. And then I go on to the next. But what's important to me is to teach this knowledge so that the path doesn't die with me. And it's not like I'm creating the wheel. It exists. It's just lost because it's not production friendly. But you can take that knowledge and manipulate it in a way to fit inside a production environment. It is possible. It's just tweaking the method.
So thinking about... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
One of the things that I'm thinking of doing this year is bringing apprentices along with me as I travel so that they see and they're exposed to all these different mediums. And so my hope is this, is that I took the knowledge that I absorbed and went this path, my path. But if you take the knowledge that you learned from me, maybe in your world, you can manipulate it to go a different direction and perpetuate something else and grow someone else. I think it's important to educate people, to get people interested in working with their hands, using your mind and your hands to create. It is so satisfying to walk in to just raw and create.
Right.
It drives me.
I can understand that. I really do. So if somebody was interested in this, is this whole ecosphere of what you're doing and what you're talking about, is it a good career choice rather than just trying to not lose touch of the old ways? Is this something that people could use to actually grow a successful career?
Absolutely. When I show people what's possible, it blows them away. You don't have to go strictly the organic path. I don't always play in the organic path because clients don't always have that. It's really about an approach of getting color through layers. It's just a different knowledge base. You can work inside a production environment. It's just, it's not conducive because it needs to take time to develop. But yes, when you show people this knowledge and they take it to their clients are like, oh my God, I didn't even know this existed. Just like you. I'm teaching you something today that's probably blowing your mind. But when you can take it and put it in practice in a business, you're rare. It's a career grower. There's no doubt about it. And you can take the approach, because that's really what it is. It's an approach. And you can use it in different mediums. I think the whole craft thing, the whole trade situation in our country is in trouble.
I absolutely agree.
We really need an apprentice system in this country. Today's high school kids who are our next generation are told that college is your only path. And that's just crap. Because most kids that go to college pick careers that are not going to give them the kind of return on their investment that you're going to make in a trade. It's not even close. I mean, you realize what a skilled tradesman can earn in his life, his or her lifetime. You know, you're coming out of college with debt, usually a pretty significant debt that might take you 15, 20 years to pay off. You're not actually making good money until you're deep into your career. 10 or 15 years in a skilled craftsman who has that mentality can make some significant money. You know, is it the same as sitting at a desk? No, it's not.
Thank God.
I can't sit at a desk. That's just not, I mean, my brain works way too fast for that. I really think that that needs to change. It really does. And I really believe that lack of training is one of the reasons that people are in the place they're in. And that's why I right now am so in demand, because people are lost. The skill set to get to a solution is not there. It's just applicators. They are applicators. They don't even understand color. And when you're a contractor and a painting contractor and you can't grasp color theory, you're lost. And that's a basic thing. And that's something that should be taught and could be taught in an afternoon. Enough understanding in an afternoon. When I teach color theory to my classes that I teach, it's like the light bulb goes off. Yeah, having this knowledge elevates your skill set and your earning power. Because when there's a problem on a job, you can fix it. You know what to do. It's taken me a long time to get to the level where I'm at. But I made that effort. I made that commitment. I mean, there was many times along the way people told me I was insane, the path that I was taking. I had a vision and I stuck to it. And I will put my outcomes against anybody's. You can actually take, and I've done this many times, an existing finish. Let's say it's 50 years old. It has a patina to it. And take brand new wood.
Right.
That's right next to that 50-year-old finish. And I can create a process that where you will not be able to tell the difference. I guarantee it. Whereas today, you would get the architect would just say, you know, we have to create a new narrative here because you can't possibly make that new woodwork look like this. And it's like, no, you can't, because those solutions are not at a paint store. But there are materials on this planet that can be utilized in a certain order, in a certain approach, where you cannot tell the difference between the 50-year-old and the 2-minute-old and extrapolate that to something that's 200 years old. It's just a different thought process, but it is possible.
I'm thinking about fine furniture and how you could restore things and make them look like there was never a problem.
Absolutely. I know people that play in that world. There's really skilled conservators out there, or even guys that work with new furniture where, you know, that's one thing that I've garnered over the multiple decades I've been in this business as I've traveled around the country. I've learned who the serious technicians and really gifted people are around the country. I don't know them all, that's for sure, but I know a lot of them. And so when I travel to a state and somebody needs X and they don't know where to get it, it's a phone call. I know this person and they can do X. And if they're not close, fly them in or teach you or whatever. It's, again, a different approach. And it's about education. And so being on your show was something I jumped at because I want people to understand you have options. And it's not the only options that you see in the print magazines or on TV, on HDTV, or what's being taught at your local trade show. That is what people want you to believe, that these are your only options. And that's just not at all true.
What kind of documentation process have you done for all of this?
You know, I have a lot of, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I mean, I've had a lot of people, especially in the last couple of years, tell me you need to write a book. And I thought, what I know is different, but I don't know that it'd be enough that people would want to buy a book. I have a lot of things that I've written, formulas that I've written and kept. So I have that kind of documentation. But my portfolio is projects around the country that I've been involved in.
The concern that you expressed is this knowledge, passing it on, not having this knowledge lost. Outside of perhaps writing a, quote, book, this could simply be something that you create that's a PDF of everything, and it could be something that is just freely shared.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing too, is that I can show you all the material. I could take every material I use on a process and stick it in front of you, but that's not going to give you the guide to what to do, because it's all about ratios, and it's about an approach, and the approach needs to be adjusted for different species of wood and for different mediums. And it's taken me, you know, literally decades to figure this out. So I can give you a baseline path, an approach in how to do layers. And that's what I teach. But it's going to take time to experiment and learn. You know, when you play with mediums that don't really exist in the common world, I've learned, I've had things go horribly wrong and had to figure out how to make it right. So, I mean, I've seen pretty much everything that could go wrong, went wrong. And I know one thing that it's really important is that you have to pivot. You have to be able to switch on a dime, because it is primarily, my substrate is wood, and wood is an organic beast. You can set the table for it to react a certain way, but it doesn't always follow through. And so you have to be able to adapt to what it's offered. And I do that. When I tell people the kind of stuff that we did when I was a painting contractor, they look at me like I'm from another planet. We would actually go into a project, and you look at wood, if you understand what wood is, I mean, the heartwood and sapwood. In a conventional piece, that's the darker inner layers, the heartwood, and the outer layers, the sapwood, are white. My clients want a color, so that variation between heartwood and sapwood was not acceptable. And I would pre-treat the sapwood first. We'd go in with an artist brush, color it in, and then put our reaction on top so it was gone. Most of our work was in historically accurate finishes. You know, if we had a project that had a 100-year-old look inside that house, or in that building, we had to make the new match. And I mean, like, they were right next to each other.
Would that be because so long ago, the trees were bigger and the pieces of wood were cut out of the heart?
Right. So sap wasn't as viable then. And what they do now, people have no idea. The big thing that today, what they do is called steaming. When I say, is that steamed? People look at me like, what is steamed? If you understood what lumber companies are doing, because you're not cutting down old growth trees anymore. Most of those are gone.
Right.
You're cutting down second and third generation growth. So sapwood is a bigger piece of that tree. A very common species that's steamed is walnut. Most people have never seen what real walnut looks like, because what's at a lumber yard is steamed. And what is happening in a steaming process is they take that 12-inch wide board. Well, 4 inches it might be sapwood now. Whereas when it was first cut generation, it might have been a quarter inch sapwood. And they would cut off that quarter inch to have that heartwood. But you can't do that now, because your yield out of a log would be so less that they'd have to raise the price. So steaming is actually a process that goes through this chemical bath before it goes into the kiln, and it's steamed. And what happens in this process is the color of the heartwood is pulled out and goes into the sapwood. So in walnut, a traditional walnut is more dark browns and purples and reds. Those are colors that are actually in the wood. Now they're brown, but it's kind of gray. And the sapwood is now colored to be more closer to the heartwood. So now the yield is 100% instead of 80% or 60%. And it happens in a variety of species. It happens in cherry, it happens in walnut. And so people don't really even realize the wood they're getting because they don't ask questions. They don't know what to look for. You know, I realize I have a different kind of knowledge than a lot of people that play in my field. I got it because I looked for it, because I cared, because I want to know, and because I know what's possible. And that's all I want people to know, is that they have options. I no longer say my way is the way, because people have choices. I just want you to know that you can have this and that and have all the array of information in what is in my coding choices and what is in their coding choices. And you as a person choose for you what interests you, what look inspires you, instead of saying, I saw this in a magazine and everybody says this is beautiful, so therefore it must be beautiful. And that's the world we live in. Just because when you look at art, I love a Van Gogh. That inspires me, but a de Kooning or something that's more avant-garde, people tell you that's beautiful, and you're like, it doesn't seem beautiful to me, but everybody says it's beautiful, so it must be beautiful. That's the design world we live in. I just want to give people education about what choices exist and let them choose for themselves, not me telling you.
So if somebody was out there and they wanted to adopt and test some of these procedures and ideas, how would they learn about them? Where would they go to find this information?
Well, I mean, that's the problem right now. It doesn't really exist. I mean, it exists with me and people that I've trained, which haven't been a ton, and word of mouth. And that's part of what I've done this year, is hired a PR firm to help me get my message out, because I just want people to understand there are options. That's all. I love being able to blow people's minds with what is possible. I really do. It's fun.
Well, we know that the craftsmanship of people, I would say, is in some ways exploding, because people are seeing what other people are doing.
Right.
And people are creating and designing and building, and they're getting into the make this and make that. And if you're able to provide an alternative that is high quality, that's got all the things that you've listed, people will be, once they know, just like you've talked about, nobody knows, it can actually spread very quickly. And if this information is out there, just something, if you were to start putting this information out on your website, I understand it's a lot of work, but the more you put out there, the more it'll get indexed, the more people will discover it. You could create a forum where people could talk about these things. Just the whole documentation project of just putting these concepts and ideas out there. It could even be a book that you build a little bit at a time.
And these are all things that I'm working on with this team, because, you know, through social media, you're getting a lot of the makers. The makers are now, people care about that now, that craft. There's a lot to be said about taking from nothing and making something, because there's passion involved. There's emotion involved.
Absolutely.
But what I tell my clients, and, you know, as I travel around the country, I look for small makers, like furniture builders. I seek them out. I'm like, I believe in you. I mean, I've been in my craft for 30 years. What's important to me is to find these people that build at the craft level that I play at and develop them and say, okay, you can take this fantastic build. I see the expertise and the care and the level that you play at. But then when you put coating on it the way you understand it, you're not adding value. You can build a fantastic piece and put even a high-end finish in that world, on, and you're still a commodity because there's tons of people out there that do that. But when you take even an average piece and put the kind of finish on that I can teach you to do, you've elevated your game exponentially. People will see it. But imagine someone at the high level craft that puts that high level type finish on. The difference is astounding. People have to touch it. That is the greatest honoring for me. When people go into places that I've created finishes and they have to touch it because they don't believe it's even real. I mean, how can you see the wood like this and there's a coating on it? It's a foreign concept. Again, just like the finish of black. You know, I just did a project in Aspen last summer, where I was teaching some furniture builders and painting contractors for a project in Aspen, just outside Aspen, how to take my process on wood, and it was everything that I taught. All the materials were 100% organic, which is a big deal in that part of the world. And one of the species was walnut. And they wanted black. And I made black, and you saw right through it. And it was 100% organic, and it was absolutely stunning. The depth and clarity and all the colors. When you play with reactive color, let me just back this up. So when you play with stain, you stain a piece of wood. Across a board, there's a bunch of subtle little colors. But when you stain it, you get one color and maybe different shades of those different colors that were there. But when you play with reactive color and organic color, because it is natural and organic, all those colors still exist. Even though it's black, you can see these subtle undertones of a red or a purple in the wood. It's almost a religious experience to see it because it doesn't make any sense that this could actually exist, but it does.
Do you have any pictures that would show this?
On my Instagram page, which is @bespokefinish, one word, there's no hyphen like on my LinkedIn page, there's a bunch of those, tons of stuff.
I'll link to that, of course.
Okay.
If you have any that you could point out to me that I could actually put on the show notes page and say, this is an example of this, this is an example of this, because I'm not going to know for sure.
Okay.
I'd really like to let people see examples of these specific things that you're talking about.
Sure. I've got a few examples that I would definitely show you. I can show you some samples of the black, and I can show you examples of taking brand new wood and matching it to 100-year-old plus wood finishes, and I guarantee you can't tell. There's no way you can tell. Because I tell you, I can't tell sometimes, and I know where the starting and stopping point is.
Right. That'd be great.
And my level of knowledge and detail of what I see, I don't miss anything. I can tell you that. When I walk in, I see it all. Because I've trained myself to see it all. When I can't find it again, I know it's perfect. I'll definitely send that link along to you.
That'd be great. Well, I wish that there was a good source of this information that would be available to people. I understand that you're training people, but we've got people all over the United States, well, presumably the world, but that would probably find this of interest, and it's going to be very hard for them to duplicate any of this. There's just not a lot of data.
I know. And that's, again, that's something I'm trying to figure out a path. I mean, there's only one of me right now. And it's hence why I want to do, you know, when I get set up further, that I can bring apprentices on, a couple of them at a time, and kind of learn my approach. Because I really think my approach is as important as the materials that I use. Because I said, even though I walk in and use the same exact materials that you do, the order in which I apply them and the way that I apply them has a profoundly different outcome. I'll show you one linked on my Instagram page where I did just that. The guy had a piece of crotch mahogany. He put stain and a conventional process on, and I did my approach using his same materials. I didn't even do it. I just told him what to do. And his outcome, his client couldn't even believe it. It was the same color, too. Just had complete clarity with stain, mind you. You know, I said, if I had had the chance, the time to show you how to get that color through a reactive color, the depth would have been overwhelming to the guy. As it was, he had approved a color. I walked in his shop. I looked at it. I said, do X. He made a quick sample, and then the next day did the final sample. And to tell you how bizarre it was, one of the like FedEx guys had come in and seen this piece. It was just a pedestal for this client and was so moved by it. This is a guy off the street delivering something to this business. He said, what did you do here? It looks alive. That's the difference. Someone that knows nothing about it was so moved by the depth that was possible that he said something to that business owner. Wow, that is amazing. Its approach and materials.
Well, it'll definitely be good to see some of those pictures.
Those are photographs on a phone, too. That's usually what I'm taking them with. When you see the depth that you can see from a camera phone,
doesn't compare to the real thing.
It doesn't, but look at my page. You'll be shocked at what's in there. And I really appreciate allowing me to talk here. I really want people to know the options that they have. So thank you so much for letting me be on your show.
You are absolutely welcome.
There's some big stuff going to happen in 2019. I can tell you that. I mean, there's some really great projects I've got lined up. And, you know, the documentation process is something that I'm working on, trying to find ways. You know, I want to do workshops. I want to teach people. It's important to me. It just is.
Do you do any kind of video?
I have not done that yet, but that's one of the things we're talking about.
Awesome. If you just simply videotape what you're teaching people locally, that can be put up on YouTube or wherever, and then thousands and thousands of people can view that.
And that's one of the things, teaching how to do the black, because I was going to give that out on Instagram, and my girlfriend's like, you're nuts, don't do that. You know, that's so valuable. And then I thought about it, it's like, I guess the black, it's kind of like a precursor to what's possible. Black and transparent. That doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to videotape taking a piece of wood and doing the reactive color on there in black and letting people see. Yeah, it's black. And see all those colors? Now they're enhanced. And the depth is there. And I can put any coating on top I want and still have it. I'm not going to use polyurethane, mind you, but I mean any material, any type of medium at the level that I want. But, you know, it's not coming from the corner paint store or the corner coating store. It's going to something I'll bring in. But they exist. I just know where they are. That's the difference.
Right. Before we do wrap this up, anything else that you're thinking that you want to get off your chest?
All I can say for people is if there's coatings out there that people are saying are great, ask questions. Don't just believe and drink the Kool-Aid because it looks good. And that one big player, that Rubia Monocoat, it is a product, it has cool colors, but it is not in any way not toxic. And it really just irritates the heck out of me that people don't question it. This is a huge corporation that sells all around the world, and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of sales for a product that is not what it says it is. Question everything. Ask questions, learn on your own.
On that note, you were talking earlier about how, I guess, poisonous and deadly a lot of the earlier techniques were. Mm-hmm. Did this wind up killing a lot of people that didn't understand that they were deadly?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you think about back in the early 1900s when they were like stickly furniture to get that color on oak. It was fumed, a fumed finish. I mean, a fumed finish is a reactive color. But to get a fumed finish, you're taking industrial-grade ammonia, not the ammonia at your grocery store, something that is five times as strong, and you're sticking it in a bowl in a completely closed environment. So they would actually build a tent, put furniture inside the tent, and put these bowls of ammonia inside, and the fumes that would gas off would change the color of the wood. They used to do that in houses too. They would put a tent over a house, and people would put these vats of ammonia in a house. But somebody had to go in there and get it out. You know, think about that.
And those were the people.
You would untent it, you know. I mean, it's not like you had gas masks back then. They didn't get that.
They just had to man up and do it.
Yes. And it's like, you know, that's not good.
No, that's
not good. That's just one example.
I imagine that you could tell some.
Oh, I could tell you crazy stories. It's possible to get a fumed finish look without that. I can do it with water, but I had to figure it out. It's different. It's a learning thing. And that's what I want to do. I want to teach. I want to alter a business model of how color gets. That's important to me, so that people understand you have options. And then you can choose for yourself.
Right.
Not someone telling you this is what you have to do.
Well, you had talked about the fact that you were worried that this knowledge would be lost.
Yeah.
If that's the case, even if it's how to make something black, even if it's how to make something translucent, wouldn't be just putting all of this information out there just as quickly as possible without any regard to whether it's a trade secret or not, just putting it out there so it's available.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I mean, to tell you one thing, there's actually a group I belong to. It's an email group. It's a small email group. There's only 150 people in this group. It's been around for 20 years. And in this group, the knowledge that is in here is crazy. There's some seriously talented people, and they freely share knowledge. It's actually the short term for it is group, GROOP, and it's professionalrefinisher.com, I think is what it is. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
You can join. Anybody can join. It's $70, and you get emails. It's just an email group, but every year we meet at some place in the country and openly share techniques and knowledge, because again, that it matters. And if people knew this knowledge existed, some of the things that I've learned through this group is just unbelievable what is actually possible to do.
Right. And the way the world is going is to have knowledge much more freely available.
Absolutely.
It used to be very much, you know, keep this to yourself, right. Keep this to yourself. Right. When I got started in the IT world, you didn't tell anybody anything. Right. That was a quick way to be unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And today it's shifted to be such a different direction. And somebody had pointed out that if your business model relies on secret knowledge, your business model is effed.
Yeah, you're destined to fail. The thing is, the difference is that I can show you all the materials I use. It even show you how to do it. But that still doesn't give you the art to be able to do it in the way that I'm doing it. Even when I'm showing you the path, it takes time to get there. Because things are going to go wrong. I guarantee it. And you have to learn what to do. Step back, reevaluate, go this direction. Instead of just freaking out and doing something dumb, which is how people do codings today.
Well, there's two things there. It may be a dumb way, but we don't know.
I know. I mean, a dumb is not a nice word, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's, again, it's the way that it's taught. Taught this is the only path. And there's really not schools for it anymore. There are a few small workshops around the country that I can link people to if they want, that have knowledge of people that I value and trust, that teach the conventional methods, but in a different way, so that they can see how something goes together and the right kind of mind can say, hey, I understand how this is put together and I understand sort of the science behind it. You don't have to have a PhD, but just understand the basics of the science of coatings. And it's amazing how much you can manipulate it, how easy it is to manipulate it and have a profoundly different outcome. Profoundly different outcome.
On a more personal note, how do you relax? How do you unwind? What kind of hobbies do you have?
You know, I actually like to hunt. I don't get to do it very often. You know, I travel so much, and I'm in a fairly new relationship with this woman who's been life-changing for me. I mean, we've been in almost 2 years, but we travel a lot and really like art and experiencing, you know, just life.
Awesome.
And so that's what I do when I'm not actively engaged.
In work.
But, you know, it's really not almost work for me. I mean, I'm really passionate about what I do. It's wonderful to teach someone this and watch the light bulb go off.
Absolutely.
I want to inspire people to do.
Yes. So do you read?
I do read. I read a lot. I mean, I went to college for a little while, but it really wasn't my path. I absorb information in a variety of sources. I don't really read a lot of books. I used to, but I just don't have the time to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And something I really want to do more is read books that add value to me, that help my path. You know, after I got hurt, I went through a dark time, John. I mean, I really did. I was lost.
I can understand.
I really did not know what to do. I got divorced. You know, you really find people that you think are your friends aren't. And that was painful. It really was. And so I actually took time for me. I went to therapy for 18 months, which is a long time. But it was the best investment I ever made in my life. And the one thing that I did, I made a decision to not live with regrets ever again.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Yes.
So I tell people what I think. That's why I have the relationship that I have now, which has absolutely been, oh my God, I feel so blessed to have found her. It has changed my life to have someone that believes in me, has my back, and appreciates the way that I think. You find that person in life who is for you, and you have those core things that are important. Don't settle.
I agree. Robert, I'm really glad that we had this show. I'm really glad that we've talked.
Me too. And, you know, I hope you're super successful because you are gifted at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that.
I will send you some links and some examples and, you know, I look forward to more. I really do.
That sounds great. Who knows where this is all going to go eventually?
Yep.
So what's the best place? I know you mentioned it earlier, but what's the best place if people want to contact you? How would you prefer that?
Well, they can email me. They can go into my LinkedIn page and DM me. That's actually the best. I don't want to give out my email address because I mean, I'll just get inundated with all kinds of crazy shit, which I don't want.
Do you have a contact form on your website?
I do.
Well, what's your website address?
It's www.bespoke-finish.com. finish.com. And then my Instagram page is at bespoke finish, but it doesn't have a hyphen. It's just one word. Hyphens don't work there.
Excellent. Well, I will include links to those things in the show notes. Yep. And then, of course, you'll be emailing me some additional information and also pictures. Robert, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm looking forward to getting this out to everybody. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, John. Take care now.
This episode's trivia question is, what material were the original 78 RPM records made out of? Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Blue Collar Voices Show. On this episode's page on bluecollarvoices.com, you will find show notes and any relevant links. If you are not subscribed to get notifications of new show episodes, you can do that at bluecollarvoices.com as well. Hey, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. See you next time.
I'll be back.